This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grant McCauley. Grant, look, let's just rip the Band-Aid off here. How egregious were the weeds in the front yard? Are we talking about like a foot tall? Are there mushrooms involved in this thing in the yard, not in your house? And, you know, was it a situation where they were overstepping, or was it like, you know what, I can see their point here?
No, there was no point. The point was they didn't have much to do and apparently needed to do a drive-by and take pictures of a yard that, after a weekend full of rain, had not been mowed. So I got to take care of.
The pictures is what sent me. The pictures is what I was like, okay, that's a little bit over the top.
Well, I have to take pictures.
Yeah.
I have to document
It was a bit much. And, you know, I'm getting to know this yard a little bit. I take pride and my time, Bo, in making sure that it looks the way that it needs to look. I have a push mower because it's not a huge yard, but I'm also just kind of enjoying the catharsis that comes with getting out in the yard that we're paying for, that we've purchased, and just making it look the way that I want it to look. And so for somebody with that kind of pride in how things look and how things sound, for that matter, it's just ridiculous to get a letter like that that implies or flat out states that you're just not taking care of business. Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, look, Grant, if you want your yard to look like the outfield at Truist Park, by all means, have at it with the stripes and everything. I just don't know how many, just Allie, like, it took you all night to cut the grass. I was just confused.
No, some of us just had to go work, and they've got a couple of jobs, and then came home to a letter from the HOA, and then immediately had to change clothes and get out there before it got dark and get the job done. That's all.
Exactly.
Adulting.
I do want to double check. Is our trash can back
no.
in? Because if the HOA sees that, we're going to get another letter, and it was out this morning.
Yeah, no, it's back where it needs to be.
You.
I had one of our very brave dogs go out there with me to retrieve that.
Very nice. All right, well, we'll talk about the Braves, because yesterday, very important day for the Braves. In your mind, Grant, how important was that last game in Philadelphia, that win? I mean, how detrimental would a sweep have been for the Braves yesterday?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's early until it's not. And when you start staring up at the standings and that lead jumps into double digits, which obviously the Braves have still got some work to do to keep it from getting to that level and continuing to stack up on them. But losing three games in the standings to the Philadelphia Phillies on that trip would have been pretty much an unmitigated disaster. And then you throw in the injury to A.J. Smith-Shawver, and, of course, the way that the Braves lost a couple of those games where it felt like, man, again, and a story of the 2025 Braves, a hit here or there, and maybe you're talking about a completely different outcome for this team. So they had to have that game. I hesitate to ever call a game in May a must-win, but it pretty much felt like if they didn't salvage that series, it was going to start this train going all the way back to what we felt like over the first couple of series of the season when the Braves stumbled out of the gates and did themselves no favors in trying to, you know, get some momentum, climb in the standings, and be a factor in the National League East.
Grant, last night Chris Sale basically made history. I think he's the only guy that has struck out 30% of the batters he's faced at this point in his career with 2,500 strikeouts or something like that. I'm not sure the exact stat. I'm sure you'll correct me when and where is necessary. But what is different about the Chris Sale we're seeing right now than the one we saw early in the season where it just seemed like something was just amiss?
I think it was just working through stuff, and sometimes with a veteran pitcher like that. And I will also say this before I kind of get back to Chris Sale in specific, but you know, spring training is so much different than it was back in the day where it felt like, you know, folks came in, they want to get a certain number of at-bats if you're a position player. Typically, they don't need as many games, but those pitchers, they wanted to build up those innings in spring training. And now it's like everything is so closely monitored. It's okay, you're going to throw 2 innings or 25 pitches. And the next one, you're going to throw 3 innings or 35 pitches. Then we'll let you get to 50. And then by the last start, maybe you've thrown 80, 85 pitches. And then you're still using those first 2 to 3, maybe even 4 starts of the year to kind of build up. And that was a foreign thought, I think, 10, 20 years ago. But now everything's just so micromanaged in that level. And I understand the injury risk is why they're doing it. But putting all of that aside, I just think it took Chris Sale some time to start to feel like he was in the groove again, to have the touch and the feel of the pitches that weren't there for him early on. And it wasn't like he was walking the ballpark. It was just the velocity wasn't there. It just didn't seem like his command was there at times. And other teams, the big thing with him I saw was they're making him pay with foul balls. And that was running up the pitch count, and then he wasn't able to cover the innings. And then you have a very unhappy Chris Sale, who wanted very much to be the guy that this team can depend on every fifth day to either give them a great chance to keep their winning streak going, or like we saw last night, be the stopper for him and get things turned around.
Chris Sale was a dose of good news, Grant, coming off game number one where A.J. Smith-Shawver has to leave. It was weird, and I'm curious what your standpoint was on this, or your viewpoint, I guess, because he gets hit in the heel or the ankle or whatever it is, and then one pitch later it's like, you know, there's an issue, and I'm like, oh, well, his ankle's not feeling good. Nope, turns out is the elbow. First of all, your viewpoint on that, and second of all, is this just as simple as giving the phone call to Bryce Elder and be like, hey, come on back?
Well, I mean, that second part, the short answer to that is yes. I mean, that's the guy who's in line for, you know, a run at the back end of the rotation to help fortify things, and clearly he was pitching pretty well before he went down, so hopefully he can do that. But yeah, it was just a strange series of events because, yeah, the line drive distracts you because all of a sudden you're thinking, all right, maybe we're dealing with one type of injury, and the next thing you know, it's an elbow issue. And I did think there's a lot of discourse about, well, Spencer Strider saw it first. Well, good for Spencer Strider. Like, do you think he's not hyper aware of what it looks like when maybe something's not quite right because he's just spent 14 months eat, sleep, and drink, rehab, and get back from a major elbow injury? So I think that's important. I mean, you've got a lot of different conversations and things going on. I know some folks were like, well, why didn't the coaching staff notice it? Maybe they were paying attention to the line drive. He just took off the heel. But putting all of that aside, I think that the right decision was made to just go ahead and pull the plug right there, because once you hear that pop, as Brian Snitker said after the game, it's nothing good. It's not going to be good, and I don't expect to get good news from that MRI. You can cross your fingers and hope, but it does seem like the Braves are going to be without A.J. Smith-Shawver for quite a while.
Well, Spencer Strider was stewing in the dugout about, you know, how he's going to hit Bryce Harper on purpose again the next time he's
right, in the first inning.
I mean, hey, Grant. Let's do this. I'm going to give you three topics. You pick which one you want to talk about. Ruben Amaro Jr., exit velocity, or Ozzy Albies?
Let's start with Ozzy, and if we have any extra time, I guess we can get to the other two.
My man, who I've been all over, is suddenly red hot. Maybe 13 or 14-game hitting streak, something like that. I mean, what change at the plate for him?
Yeah, I think he was able to make the little adjustments to his swing where now you're starting to see the hard hit contact. So maybe that can bring us into exit velocity. If you hit the ball hard consistently, you should see results over time. It does not mean that you are impervious to hitting the ball at someone, but there's nobody out there trying to hit the ball softly. It's not a tennis lob over the shortstop. I know Freddie Freeman gets a lot of credit for his approach, but Freddie's still trying to hit the ball hard. And there's a quote, and if I ever find it, I'm going to bookmark it. But he was talking about this 5 years or so ago about, look, everybody wants to say, just take it the other way. Just take what you're given, X, Y, Z. But you're facing more pitchers than you ever have in a single game because the complete game is dead. They're throwing harder than they ever had with nastier breaking stuff than we've ever seen in the history of the game in most cases. So good luck hitting the ball the other way for that single every single time. It just doesn't work out that way. But I think Ozzy made his adjustments. He's starting to build at the plate as well. And this is important, some confidence for him to feel like, all right, the process is working. Now I'm starting to see results. So a lot of good things to like about what Ozzy is doing currently. Can he keep it going? That's the big question. The Braves certainly need him to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, we are talking with 92.9 The Game's very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, also has the same last name as me. Do you
You're welcome.
Feel... yeah, thank you for that.
Wild man said you welcome.
You said you welcome. All right, so Spencer Strider is back. Ronald Acuna Jr. is back.
Mm-hmm.
we're still kind of in warm-up mode, though. We're letting them get readjusted. When do you expect the Braves to really hit their stride?
Yeah, June's always been a good month for them historically. I know last year might have kind of been the outlier of that because it seemed like June was maybe when the ship started to take on some water. But you look at where it was in 22 and 23, the Braves kind of felt like they were in a similar position where every time they'd win a few games, they'd suffer a couple of series losses or slip on a banana peel and just, you know, undo everything that they were doing. And then the month of June would come around. I don't know if they need a closed-door meeting to make this thing happen. That has been the case in the past. Or if you're just going to start to see this club play better because they are better. They're clearly more talented than the record, but we've been saying this for a while. If you get guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. and Spencer Strider back and you have the talent and you're able to stay healthy, I got to believe this team's best days are ahead of it, and we're going to see as the weather starts to heat up if the Braves can finally start to heat up. But this was an important weekend or an important series, I should say, in Philadelphia for the Braves to avoid that sweep. They've got one more little weekend here at Truist Park where they could take advantage of another club that's kind of in the same boat they're in the Boston Red Sox that has shown promise at times but also struggled. You got to start winning series like that consistently as well if you're the Braves, and maybe they can catapult themselves into June with a chance to not just get the 500 but get on a nice long run with Ronald Acuna Jr. at the top of the order and Spencer Strider regaining the form, which I was encouraged by how he looked in Philly in his start.
Grant, before we let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on the Ozzie Albies situation last night. He takes off running at the top of the ninth inning. He walks, gets on base, tries to steal second base, gets thrown out. Ryan Snicker, after the game, saying that's just something he kind of did on his own, didn't signal it in. First of all, did you think it was a bad shot being taken by Albies on the base pass, or did he not have gone there? And then your reaction to Brian Snicker and his comments after the game.
No, Ozzie's one of those guys that kind of has the green light if he feels like he can steal that base. Now, the flip side of that is you've got to be able to steal that base when you go. It's a high-percentage play for him. I feel like Ozzie had been successful in 26 of the previous 28 stolen base attempts, so he's pretty good at picking his spot. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Perfect throw, and it undid what could have been, in the Braves' ninth inning, a lot more damage, and unfortunately, it didn't work out. But I don't have a problem with him taking a shot like that, particularly on a day where the offense had a lot of trouble getting guys in scoring position. You're just trying to make something happen, and that's what clubs do and should do when they're having trouble just traditionally scoring runs the way that they're accustomed to. Sometimes you just got to take fate into your own hands. It just didn't work out for them.
All right, Grant. Well, then on that flip side, what do you think about that third called strike that wasn't a strike? How does an umpire give a guy that call when he's walked how many guys in the inning?
At least a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you get that call because I think the umpire knew that, hey, we got another game to play. We got to get this one over with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That'd be my guess. That's my best theory because it certainly wasn't a strike.
Well, Mike seemed to think it was a strike. He thought it was either.
No, I didn't say it was a strike. You just said it was – you acted like this like wild thing came out and hit 20 foot up off the backstop. I was just saying it was close.
That was a frame job.
Yeah, anyways. Grant, it was close. Yeah. It was too close to take, right, Grant?
I don't believe in too close to take. I believe in ball or strike. Can you foul it off? Can you work the count? Sure, but I like guys to be really attacking the strike zone, not expanding their zone, just because that's exactly what the pitcher's trying to get them to do.
Thank you, Grant.
There you go. Grant's ready for the ABS system to be full-time in regular
season. Yes, I've been ready for that for about 10 years.
You heard it here first. Hey, Grant, thanks so much. And look, go get those trash cans off the street. Make sure that mailbox is the right height and get those weeds handled.
No, everything's handled. Check, check, and check.
All right, man. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.